Through deepest wood and darkest trail, will the Bear Scout march succeed or fail? Dun, dun, dun.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and today we are going back in time a little bit, about a decade or so, because it's kind of a long story, but a few weeks ago, I made the shocking discovery that at some point in my chronology, I skipped a book in the Berenstain Bears books. It wasn't even like an obscure book. It's one of the more well-known books. It's still in print. You can still go to the store and buy a copy of this book. And I went online and I did my mea culpas and I said, I am so sorry. I forgot to cover this book. I'll have to get to it. And that's when a little bird online said, that's my favorite book.
It was literally the favorite book in my childhood.
And I was like, well, then you've got to be on the show. I mean, you have some experience being on the show.
I do. So I've done the show.
Well, I won't have to like dig to find a guest, and we'll finally be able to cover this book without me being just totally like sitting alone, embarrassed that I didn't cover this book. Because honestly, if I had to sit by myself and discuss this book, it would take me about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, the book is The Berenstain Bears Blaze a Trail from 1987.
1987.
This is from the First Time Reader series, which is sort of related to the first time books, but they were simpler stories. They're fewer pages and fewer words. They rhyme, and they don't necessarily teach a moral or a lesson. They're just sort of silly adventures, sort of reminiscent of the original beginner books, where
right.
Papa typically gets into a little bit of trouble and someone has to save him or fix his mistake.
And to clarify, something we learned from Mike himself was that the term first-time books is confused with, people always thought that meant first-time readers,
yeah.
But it actually meant your first-time experiences, mm-hmm. So going to the dentist, etc.
Yeah. And I did just notice, I was perusing some of the Berenstain Bears books on Amazon, and they've updated the covers now. They have replaced that logo. And I can't remember off the top of my head. It says something like Berenstain Bears Classics or something to that effect. So they're not using the phrase first time books anymore.
But we were there when he was talking about it.
Exactly. That. And we were talking about how that was a little bit confusing and how he said that when they do future editions, they're going to replace that logo with something as less confusing.
Yeah.
And they have done that now. So I haven't actually seen one physically yet.
Oh my God. So wait, does this mean you're going to have to get
That means I have to get all these books again.
They're selling them in physical copies, mm-hmm. not just like online.
Correct.
Like this is going to be like
yes.
a whole, because if they're rebranding, mm-hmm. that changes its identity.
That's exactly right. And for me, who is a completist with my collection, I'm now going to have to buy another series of the first time books because they're different. It's sort of like when they came out with the edition with stickers inside.
Yeah.
I had to buy the whole set again because they now said with stickers inside. So the cover was slightly different. And of course I needed the stickers.
When did they start doing stickers inside?
That's been going on for a while now, 6 or 8, maybe even 10 years.
Yeah. That really like bugged me as a parent, mm-hmm. because I was always like, you should just buy books for the purity of the story,
right.
not for gimmicks.
Well, in fact, I was the copy of Blaze a Trail that I'm looking at today has stickers in it, and I was debating with myself what I should I take the stickers out and put them in the book somewhere? Should I just rip the sticker sheets out, because the original, of course, didn't have sticker sheets?
I never understood the purpose of the stickers, because some of them are very specific
to the book,
but
others
poses
are super generic. Okay, so in the Blaze a Trail, for example, like you see Scout Leader Jean, which makes total sense. She's not actually in a lot of books, so it makes sense that there's a sticker of her. But then there's also Hound Dog Snuff, who does not appear in this book.
So now, for those of you listening at home, Brad just removed the Hound Dog Snuff sticker
without even thinking
from its backing.
I'm now going to go to the first full page, and because I'm disappointed that Hound Dog Snuff is not in this book, I'm going to have him follow the Bear Scouts down the trail. So he is now in my version of the story.
You are listening in real time to someone lowering the value of their Berenstain Bears book. It just happened in real time.
It went from $4.99 down to something. Well, it's probably worthless now.
And now it's worthless. Now this is a book you'd pull off the shelf at Half Price Books now and be like, oh, somebody put stickers in it.
Exactly.
Put it back on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Just broke up the line of Stan and Jan's original illustrations, which are, well, let's talk about Blaze a Trail.
Let's do.
Let's talk about your childhood.
Oh.
Let's go back even further in time.
Oh, my. Well, I think one of the reasons I loved this book so much as a kid was because I really only had the first-time readers and the first-time books when I was younger, and I loved the fact that these were a little bit easier to read. I loved the fact that they rhymed, and I thought they were really silly because I was not familiar at the time with the original beginner books where Papa is just kind of bumbling around and doing silly things, and I was getting into trouble or causing a big mess. So these books sort of served that same purpose. They were written in very much in a similar style, at least plot-wise. And so I thought that they were really fun in a different way as opposed to the first-time books, which were more serious and always taught a lesson. Yeah. So I found this book really refreshing, and I think the illustrations are fascinating. And there's a couple that are downright comical. So I really like this book, even though it's very simple on its face.
Yeah, it's sort of, I mean, I reread it. It literally takes 2 minutes to read this book. It's very short, and it's just a series of gags. For those of you who have been with us since the beginning, this is well, it's still 87, so it's smack dab in the middle of all these shenanigans. But it's this is your basic. The scouts are off to do XYZ. They're trying to sneak out before Papa finds out they're doing something. And, of course, he insists on tagging along. He makes mistakes along the way. And in the end, they get their merit badges. And Papa ends up getting applauded for things he didn't actually earn. Mm-hmm. And Scout Leader Jane is here throughout. We'll discuss the problems of calling a helicopter a plane.
That's on my list also.
Her role in the Scouts. This is also somewhat appropriate because I recently started doing the Bear Scout chapter books.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to go back now to some of the early Bear Scout stuff and see where they started and how much they've sort of picked and chosen from their established lore to do the chapter books, and how much, as I said in my early Bear Scouts chapter book reviews, how much they're actually just doing the bear detectives.
Yeah.
But in any case, what happens in Blaze a Trail?
Their basic purpose is to go out into the woods using the Bear Scout guide and navigate through the woods safely. So they're not actually supposed to be blazing a new trail. They're just supposed to be finding a way to navigate through some of the dangers or treachery of the woods, and they're doing it under the guidance and supervision of Scout Leader Jane. But of course, Papa, having tagged along, he just tries to do things his own way. He kind of just has a very cavalier attitude about it. He's more confident than his actual skills allow, and along the way, he just ends up in some really funny situations and dangerous situations,
yes.
I might add. Nobody seems to get hurt, even though there is a rock fall, which looks very dangerous. Everything turns out well in the end. And like you said, Scout Leader Jane not only gives the Bear Scouts their merit badges, but Papa also gets one.
Right, because his series of accidents accidentally blazed a trail.
He changed the landscape. he did like the worst thing you could possibly do. You know, we talk about going out and leave no trace, and he's destroying nature. I mean, he's permanently changing the woods and Rocky Gorge, and the smell from his stew.
It kills a bird, apparently.
Maybe even killed a bird, based on the illustration. We're not really sure. So I don't really understand why Scout Leader Jane is rewarding him.
I think Papa has a fragile ego.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, as you can see, Scout Leader Jane shows up at the end with 4 badges.
I don't know if you're ready for this.
Okay, I'm totally down for anything.
But I want you to find the page in the book with Mama Bear.
Find a page with Mama Bear. I don't see Mama Bear.
Mama Bear does not appear in this book.
Okay.
Whatsoever. At all. Right. Not even on the opening page.
Right. She's not even
at the end.
She's
a lot
not
of times,
even in a window or anything.
No. She's not peeking out of the treehouse at the beginning. Something is amiss.
Okay.
I'm not sure what it is exactly. It may just be that, you know, she's busy. Maybe she's at the store. Maybe she's making a quilt. But I find it very, very odd that Mama Bear is nowhere to be found. And I feel like there's something going on here, maybe. I'm not sure what it is.
Okay.
But
do you think Scout Leader Jane is into Papa Bear?
I don't. Yeah, I do. But it would stand to reason why it is that Papa continues to do the things that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows that he's going to be validated by Scout Leader Jane.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that there will be no consequence for his bad actions. I mean, she's really exhibiting a sort of unconditional love, even if it's just an admiration or friendship. I'm not saying that there's a romantic relationship going on.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because, you know, why is Mama not around? I mean,
well, I don't think maybe, like, they got her out of the way. Although we do start off the book with an axe in a tree, which is pretty
very dramatic.
Which is pretty dramatic and ominous. I would say that. Okay, I'll meet you halfway on this. I will say that maybe it's not necessarily the Jane factor, even though she's a big element of it. Maybe it's this is the way he gets extreme validation for the things that he usually gets chastised for.
Yes, exactly. And this book becomes all about Papa then.
Yeah.
This whole book, and it starts, one starts to wonder, does this book even fit in the continuity of Bear Country proper? Or is this Dream World? Is this Papa's Dream World?
Oh, I
see. Because there's some really important elements, like for the mama being missing would stand to explain why in Papa's world, in Papa's dream world, he wants to go to a place, his happy place, where he is validated for who he is, regardless of whether it's good or bad or right or mm-hmm. wrong. And Mama does not give false praise. She does not. She holds his paws to the fire, if you will, at all times.
All right. Well, let's look at this further. If this is Papa's fantasy world,
yeah.
On the first page of the narrative, you see the treehouse.
Yeah.
The scouts say, let's go while Papa is still in bed.
Mm-hmm.
If you look through the window of the treehouse,
you see an empty bed.
You see an empty, unmade bed,
mm-hmm.
which in the world of the Berenstain Bears would not have happened mm-hmm. if Papa and Mama were in control of this house. Now, if this mm-hmm. is Papa's dream and he's a single bear, unfettered by authority.
Right.
Then that makes sense. It makes sense that he's dreaming of a world in which he doesn't have to answer to anyone,
mm-hmm.
and he's free to sneak around. All right, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. In addition to the fact, this would also solve a few other incongruities in this particular book.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you alluded to earlier. Let's talk about this about the fact that Scout Leader Jane is flying around in a helicopter, but it is in the text. Every time referred to as a plane.
Yep. Wait, said Brother, for Scout Leader Jane. Look, here she comes now in her plane.
But she's not in a plane.
She's very clearly in a helicopter.
Yeah, and it's not even like sort of a plane, sort of a helicopter. It's a helicopter. I mean, Stan and Jan and Mike Berenstain know the difference between a plane and a helicopter.
Well, and then it says later on, then Jane, who was watching all the while, landed her plane on Pa's rock pile.
Yeah, and it's not a plane.
It's very, and they didn't even have to rhyme it there.
No.
They could have just said landed or copter.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying that Papa's doesn't, is it because it's in Papa, if it's in Papa's head,
yes.
It's because he's like, look at the plane.
Right.
Like every time he sees it.
Well, you know how like things just don't make sense when you're in your dreams.
Oh, I
like,
see.
You know, when you're a dream, like for example, as a musician, I'm a trombone player, but every time I have a dream that I'm in a concert, I end up on stage and they hand me a flute and I don't know how to play it. You know what I mean? So, and there's other problems. For example, Why is there a crocodile in the woods?
Oh, I see.
What? There's no crocodiles in Bear Country.
I thought there were always crocodiles in Forbidden Bog.
I don't know. Are you sure?
I thought there were. I thought it was an established feature of the bog.
Well, I was going to pull out the nature guide, but I didn't have access to it this morning because I really wanted to find out what animals...
Because were crocodiles one of the animals frightened by Big Paw?
I don't... Not that I can recall. Mm. Crocodiles? No. And in what natural setting on Earth do bears and crocodiles like share an ecosystem?
I guess that's true.
Well, it's absolutely true.
This isn't even, there's no question about this.
I feel like the crocodile just adds a level of danger, which would be exciting to Papa, to make his, you know, dream more exciting, to make him feel all the more important that he got the Bear Scouts through the bog, even though there was a crocodile. I don't think there's actually a crocodile in the bog.
So this whole book can be reframed as kind of this empowerment fantasy.
Yes.
For Papa Bear. It's indicative of what goes on in his fantasy world. I think that not in his idealized world, but in this sort of like childlike longing. He lives in a world where he doesn't have any responsibilities, where he doesn't get injured for making his mistakes,
right,
where he receives positive reinforcement for every choice he makes, and at the end of it, he will receive literally a physical reward in the form of a badge.
Right.
Plus, it would also support the notion that Scout Leader Jane is not actually this much of a numbskull. Like, in our established canon, Scout Leader Jane is super pragmatic,
mm-hmm,
and will chastise Papa Bear for making his mistakes and, mm-hmm, try to teach him a lesson.
Right.
Like, even the Ghost of the Forest,
mm-hmm,
you know, she's like, no, there's no, you're being, no, this isn't real. Like,
right.
But in this one, she's like, very good, Papa Bear. You destroyed, mm-hmm, the woods.
Right.
For everyone. Hmm.
Yeah. Well, and furthermore, I mean, he goes through some serious physical trauma, but
yeah,
at no point is he shown bleeding or even having a bandage or a bruise. He comes through some pretty tough stuff completely unscathed.
Right. He's still, though, if this is his dream, he's still smart enough to dream about his stew being terrible.
Oh, yeah. This, which is one of the best illustrations in this or any Berenstain Bear books, because it literally knocks the Bear Scouts on their backs.
Yes.
The smell, and the only person enjoying the smell, there's a skunk, which I really love.
Yeah.
And he's just loving it. He's totally digging the scent there.
Now, this is also I've talked about this. This is a recurring theme in several books, is Papa's wilderness stew.
Mm-hmm.
He makes this in he makes it in the established canon books like Baron Too Much Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also done it in I think other Scout books, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It's definitely popped up in several other stories,
because,
mm-hmm, I remember when I did Too Much Vacation, I was like, oh, this is a thing. Like,
right.
We know that every time he goes out, he gets twigs and stuff together,
mm-hmm,
and he makes a stew, and it's nasty, and everyone hates it, and he always seems surprised by it.
Yeah. And I think the grossest part is he cooks it up in a bird's nest.
That's weird.
That's disgusting.
He comes up, he's holding a branch, and it's got the bird's nest on it, and he's holding like what looks like just a bunch of roots, and he boils them and grasses in there, and he thinks it's going to taste okay.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, it does not. God, I hope he didn't cook those birds.
I worry about the baby birds.
And then he goes through the rocky gorge and causes an avalanche or a rock slide.
Mm. Yep.
And then he gets a badge. Your merit badges, said Scout Leader Jane, for brother, for sister, for cousin Fred, and one badge more, added Scout Leader Jane. One for Papa, I shall explain. And that's when she says, you blazed a trail, you did it fast, your three landmarks are sure to last. First, we have Crocodile Alley, thanks to you. That's where, mm-hmm, he destroyed the woods.
Yep.
Second, the smell made by your stew, which doesn't seem like that would be a permanent landmark.
I was just going to say, that one has always bothered me as well, because she says, your three landmarks are sure to last. Well, that scent isn't going to last.
Like, unless,
thank goodness.
Unless he poisoned the land. Or, right, unless it's a dream, because Papa doesn't understand how reality works,
yep,
anyway.
Exactly.
Like, you like say, you know how things in dreams aren't always weird? I just, mm-hmm, think it's Papa. Like, I think Papa Bear's dreams are pretty specific to how he thinks the, yeah, world operates.
Yes.
And then, of course, the third landmark she has in mind is the Great Rock Pile you find. Mm-hmm. This Great Rock Pile, which literally blocks Rocky Gorge.
Yeah.
Right over by my house, we have a river road that runs right by the Mississippi River. And there was a rock slide there a couple of years ago.
Sure.
A pretty major one. And that rock slide closed the river road for a long time.
Yeah.
And they had to bring in construction equipment. They had to clear the road. They had to shore up the sides. They had to put up safety features so it didn't happen again. I think that Papa's done something terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this were really to happen. And
right.
I think that also supports your theory that this didn't really happen. He didn't really cause...
I hope not.
...a horrible rock slide. Because that's, like you said, that's dangerous. She gives him the merit badge. And yeah, the last illustration is him pointing to himself. Like, he's just like, get a load. We did it, scouts. We knew we could. We did what we said we would. We won badges to wear with pride by following our Bear Scout guide, which isn't what happened.
No, they didn't at all.
They
tried to.
I see. She's saying by following our Bear Scout guide, and she's pointing to the book, and he's pointing to himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying he's the Bear Scout guy.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's a visual gag like the skunk. I totally missed that.
Yeah.
This book is smarter than I give it credit for.
That's what I'm saying. On its surface, it doesn't seem like much, but there's more stuff going on here.
Well, let's talk about what it looks like. Let's talk about the drawing, the illustrations in this book, because... they're pretty nice.
They're very nice. I really like a lot of these are two-page spreads that connect.
The first two-page spread we get is the title.
Mm-hmm.
The Berenstain Bears Blaze a Trail, which is one of the most creative titles they ever did.
Yep.
It's a splash page. It's the Berenstain Bears is written on a piece of broken wood that's hanging from a tree. Blaze a Trail is etched into a half of a log that is propped in the crook of a tree. And then there's a hatchet stuck under it. Like, that's what they did the carving with. And then you see the cubs off blazing a trail in the background. It's really nicely composed. So this is the... Oh, and then the credit, Stan and Jan Berenstain and everything, is on another piece of wood that's hanging from a branch. It's just... I would hang this on my wall. Like, this is a nice illustration.
This is what drew me, and this is why it was one of my favorite books as a kid. There's a lot to look at, even though there aren't as many words in this. I just think it's a really nicely illustrated. They took their time. There's some really great detail as you look at the treehouse and the yard. Just really...
Can I see your physical copy?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's cool is, on the Kindle edition, they kept all the integrity of the splash pages. There's no... some of the Kindle editions, they redo the artwork, and they chop it all up, and they try to make it fit into, like, this book format. This is just... they've done the layout. And what's really cool is Stan and Jan... I mean, obviously, they're professionals, but they knew where that crease was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, visually, it doesn't break up the line of the title, Blaze a Trail... with the crease in it, because your eye separates it into two separate images, but it looks weird on the splash page on the Kindle. I'll show it to you, because there's a gap between
space.
Blaze and the letter A, because you can see how they were like, no, there's going to be a gap there, so we'll extend that so that it flows better visually the eye. These people, Stan and Jan Berenstain, they just got layouts well.
They knew what they were always,
They knew, and I've said this before, they knew how to make your eye go from the bottom left to the upper right and just, like, keep flowing along with that story.
Yep.
In their best books, the illustration pulls you along as much as the text does, and that is the case in this one.
Oh, absolutely. When you turn the page and you get the first page of text, and they're walking down the dirt path, and they're just begging you to turn the page, because you want to see, like, where are they going, what's coming next.
And again, you, because of the way your eye goes, you see the treehouse first. You get to the text where they say, well, Papa is still in bed, but your eye has started on the image of the open window with the empty bed, the bird looking in the window with a shocked expression on its face.
Yep.
So by the time you get to the cubs, you know that Papa's not in bed.
Right.
And then it pulls you to the next page. And
exactly.
Where they're all surprised by Papa hiding behind a bush, as he's wont to do.
I love it.
This book is pretty strong visually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what is what's great. I love the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though they call it a plane, like it shows up
Even though it should be impossible to keep itself stabilized with no rear rotor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Again, dream. Papa doesn't understand how machines work.
But I love how it, you know, it's in the foreground in several illustrations, but then it's she's just sort of floating in the background in a couple more.
Yeah.
So you know that she's there, but she's watching from a distance,
mm-hmm.
and she needs to be there when she needs to be there, but lets Papa kind of go about his shenanigans.
Yeah, the way he lands in an eagle's nest at one point. The cubs are trying to mark the trail with sticks, and he tries to mark the trail with a tree that mm-hmm. catapults him into an eagle's nest. And yeah. then in the next page,
and I might just the sheer physics of this
right.
are impossible,
of course. But what's cool is the next page is a splash page. You see the eagle's nest in the distance with the eagle glaring. It's very far off in the distance.
Yes.
You see the ends of the bog, of the swamp,
mm-hmm.
as the cubs are picking their way through the mud. It's not commented on, but it's like the at the end of the swamp, there's just mud which leads into the woods.
Yeah.
Again, it's just really nicely composed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and Papa's pointing, you know, like not only encouraging the cubs on, but encouraging you to turn the page and
yep.
and to see what is coming next.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just really impressed by this. And if you do end up getting the Kindle edition, I highly recommend looking at it on a large monitor, because you get mm-hmm. you get this, the dynamic illustrations. The colors are really nice, and you can yeah. see how it all flows. You said that like the main character in this book is Papa.
Mm-hmm.
The cubs don't do much.
They're
just there to say like no, and they may as well. As we saw in the early cub Bear Scout books, which just had generic cubs, mm-hmm. these could be anyone. Like these cubs, they don't behave like brother and sister
no.
or Fred.
They have no personality.
Right. They're just there because there need to be cubs there. Which leads me into a discussion about, so you've read the Bear Scouts chapter books.
Yes, most of them. There's probably a few that I have not.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. And one of the issues, I've only read the first two so far, but one of mm-hmm. the issues I'm having with the chapter books is that the Scouts don't have very distinct personalities in them.
Mm-hmm.
They try really hard to make them characters, but unlike mm-hmm. the just big chapter books, which are very like clearly drawn who these characters are,
right,
for some reason they become the Scouts and they are just do-gooder Scouts, like that's mm-hmm. it. They become these characters again. They
yeah.
become a reflection of just like the early days when the cubs were just kids and
right.
not these bizarre preteen children hybrids.
Mm-hmm. I feel like part of it is the uniform they have to wear.
Yeah,
like The uniform makes them all look the same. It's kind of boring. I like it. I think it's got a lot of character, but it takes away from the individual character of each of the cubs.
Right.
And that's something that especially that is a highlight of the big chapter books, is that the cubs, by dealing with a lot of these challenges of school or being a little bit older, middle school, sorts of issues, we see a lot of their personality come through. We
yeah.
see their values, and these Bear Scout books are just plot driven.
Yeah,
and what happens is that the characters themselves just always seem to take a back seat to the action
right.
that's taking place, and that makes them just seem a little bit more superficial.
Yeah, well, yeah, because we've seen that they are so focused on repurposing Saturday morning cartoon plots.
Right.
Which in the cartoons were very focused on Raffish Ralph
right.
and the Weasels and Big Paw and the mayor and all the other characters, that the Scouts really did take a back seat to the action. So when you try to make them the focus of these plots, they just, oh, and because they're the Bear Scouts, they have to expand the role of brother and sister into brother, sister, Lizzie and Fred in every
right.
book. And they tried to give like Lizzie like superpowers or something, where she can talk to animals and like has a sixth sense, but it really never comes into play.
No.
I much prefer, again, so far, because I've only read two of them, but I much prefer the Scouts the way they were originally envisioned,
mm-hmm.
which is these simple foils of Papa's ridiculous shenanigans.
Right.
I do find it interesting, though, and maybe you have some insight. So One thing we saw at the Strong was there were prototypes for like the Bear Scouts binoculars.
Yes.
And like there may have been another Bear Scouts thing. I can't remember what.
Flashlights.
Yeah, the flashlights. Yeah. Yep. And it seemed like with that, with the focus on the new chapter book series,
mm-hmm.
they were really invested in these scouts as characters.
Mm-hmm.
As merchandising, like as
right.
like we can really do something with the scouts, as opposed to the detectives. Like, mm-hmm. and I always wonder why they went the scouts route instead of the bear detectives route,
mm-hmm.
when the scouts always seem to end up solving mysteries anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me like kids would be more interested in bear characters who were devoted to the mysterious, like the weird world.
Right.
Because they were trying to appeal to the same kids who were going after Goosebumps and mm-hmm. Babysitter Mysteries and the Nancy Drews and all that. I don't know why they went Bear Scouts instead of Bear Detectives.
I don't either, unless they thought that they maybe had a built-in audience of kids who were into scouting.
Yeah.
And there maybe wasn't a lot of merchandise out there or books about scouting or the themes of scouting, so perhaps that I have no idea, to be honest, but it definitely, I don't know, was not wildly successful, I don't think.
Yeah, that's what I think Mike said. He's like, the Bear Scout chapter books never really, and I'm like, man, it's like they were just off. If they could have reframed it. There was this terrible Archie gang cartoon that came out in the, I want to say the early 2000s.
Okay.
But it was basically, it's Archie and the gang, like the weird mysteries, and it was all like basically the X-Files, but
right.
with Archie and the gang. And I was like, that's what they should have done if they wanted to do let's do a sort of Wild and Woolly Adventures of Bear Country. They should have, mm-hmm. I think they should have gone the mysterious world of Bear Country. I think
right.
the kids would have gravitated towards that. I just think Scouts is a little too goody two-shoes for the age they were aiming at.
Mm-hmm. I think so, but I think it fit into the sort of aesthetic that Stan and Jan wanted for the series overall of the bears being good.
Yeah.
Always doing the right thing. And the scouting fit into that more, whereas the detectives just solving cases didn't fit the overall trajectory of the series. When I talk about the series, I mean the whole series, of how they were really wanting to do moral rights and wrongs and goods and bads. And even in these books that are a little bit more silly, there's still that subtext.
But doesn't it make more sense for like the bear detectives to be like, let's investigate Ralph going underground into the mm-hmm. weasel's lair? Like, I mean, I don't know what lesson we're supposed to learn from like a giant pumpkin full of guns that gets pushed over a cliff at the end of a story. That story is really ridiculous.
Yeah.
I want to sit in on those meetings. I
right.
want transcripts of the meetings where they were like, I just don't feel like the giant pumpkin full of guns storyline was done justice on the big screen. I think it'll be better
right.
served in the written word.
Yeah, or there wasn't that conversation at all, and it was just take this script and adapt it into a book, because that was at sort of the height of the popularity of the series, and they were just, they needed material.
Yeah, three scripts, because that was three stories they mm-hmm. mashed into
mm-hmm.
one book. Like, no wonder it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really interesting going back to one of these simple books, because mm-hmm. I've been mired in the, and I will be going back. I keep promising this. I will be going back to more of the first time books because I've been so fascinated by these chapter books. I've skipped years of first time books. I have to go back and just cover like a bunch of these books, and it's difficult to do because I've gotten so used to the much more richly colored characters mm-hmm. in the chapter books. I'm a huge fan of the long form Berenstain Bear book,
which is funny because I would suspect that you probably thought those would be difficult episodes, and they were the books you were least familiar with.
Yeah,
and it's been great too, because these are books that have not been discussed or analyzed.
Mm.
Everyone has their own take on learn about strangers.
Yeah.
But no one has ever really like gotten into gotta dance.
Yeah. You know? I do have a few friends out there though who are only familiar with the chapter books.
Okay.
Because that's sort of how they were at the age where they were like, hey, more series chapter books to collect. I guess I'll read these. And then they were like, oh, I guess they did some storybooks too, but I'm too old for that. So what else do you have to say about the old Blaze of Trail?
I still love it. After, you know, it's been a long time since I've gone back and reread it. And for me, there's just a lot of nostalgia wrapped up in it because I read this book so much when I was relatively young, when I was probably, 7 years old or so. So I really love flipping through it and remembering the stories, the pictures, and also, taking it to the next level, just stopping and thinking about, what was the point of this? What were Stan and Jan trying to do? Were they thinking deeply about these characters, or were they just trying to find an adventure for them to go on that was a little bit silly?
Well, I think regardless of whether or not they were focusing on the characters, I think it's very clear that they were focusing a lot on the art, because I can't emphasize enough just how cool this book looks.
This is why I'm surprised that they let the whole plane helicopter thing slide through, because they were so good at storyboarding these and editing them and designing them that there had to have been a point somewhere along the line where Stan and Jan were sitting there and talking about, is it a plane? Is it a helicopter? Are we going to adjust the text? Or did their editor tell them it had to be plane because it rhymes with Jane? I don't know, but like that kind of bothers me when you see how well crafted these books are, and then something like that slips in, and they weren't that lazy,
right?
You know what I mean?
I mean, I can see where you're like, we wrote the text. Like we came up with a story, wrote the text. It'd be cool if Jane's in a plane flying around above them. Then they're like, there's really no way to maneuver a plane, semi-realistically, into this situation. It's got to be a helicopter.
Yeah.
And just being like, nothing rhymes with helicopter. Like, we have...
Yeah.
There are times when Stan and Jan stretched the notion of what a rhyme is.
Yep.
Anyway, I can see just being like, we just can't work copter, chopper, anything into this Huey. I just can't imagine like what they would have called it. And eventually we're just like, just keep it as plain. And the 4 year olds who are supposed to read this probably won't care.
Or does the absence of Mama represent Jan? Who maybe had no part in this book, and she put it all in Stan's hand, and Stan wrote this book, which is like the greatest Papa dream, and so just like Papa like barrels through the woods unchecked, maybe Stan wrote and illustrated this book completely unchecked. I don't know. Maybe there's a metaphor there about Stan and Jan as Mama and Papa. I don't know.
No, because then it would have ended with Papa Bear publishing his novel finally about growing up on the East Coast.
Yes, in Southern New Jersey.
In Southern New Jersey, or it would have ended with him finally getting that play produced.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'm trying to envision what it would have been like if he had somehow snuck a book into their publishing lineup. She's like, what's this? Blaze of Trey. He's like, don't look at it. Don't look at it.
You know, speaking of that, so I got this new edition here I purchased online. And the one thing that's a little strange is that, again, this is from the first time reader series with Ghost of the Forest and the Wild Honey. What's that one called? Road Race. Yeah, all of those. Well, anyway, on the back of this book, it shows the first time readers, or the first time books, not the first time readers. And then the inside of the back cover says collect them all. It's the first time books. It's not the first time readers. It's very strange that they don't list the titles of the books in this particular series.
Do the first time readers ever show up in lists on the backs of their books?
Yep.
You'll see Ghost of the Forest and Big Road
Well,
Race.
Well, in the original ones. Now, I haven't looked at... I'm assuming the new ones reprintings just go with the standard first-time books. But yeah, if you go back to the original ones, the ones that I had as a kid, there was a separate list and separate pictures just for that series.
Yeah.
In fact, there was brother and sister bear, like, with crayons. They were sitting down here kind of by the barcode. And that was also the series that had Day of the Dinosaur and After the Dinosaurs. Okay. And the Berenstain Kids' I Love Colors, which didn't even actually have Berenstain Bears in them.
Yeah.
It was a really strange series.
So it wasn't necessarily Berenstain Bears. It was mostly just first-time readers done by the Berenstains.
Correct.
Yeah, that makes that now rings a bell. Did the first-time readers all have covers with the frame around the border?
Yes.
Did that differentiate them as well from the first-time books? Yeah, stuff that you just never noticed when you were a kid, and like now it all seems. It didn't help that the first time books and the first time readers logo they're so similar to each other.
Very similar.
And of course, same characters, same illustrators. Like they're all working in the same milieu. It's just they just don't belong to the same continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Like very different continuities. Big Road Race does not exist in the real continuity of Berenstain Bears. It's not a thing.
Right.
Like. It always, even now, I'm just like, this is a bizarre book.
Yeah.
Like, what is even supposed to be happening? Like, why is there a race? Who are these villains?
Yeah.
What's happening in the, it really bothers. Did they ever adapt that one to, like, a cartoon?
That I don't think so.
Like, because I can see them, like, rejiggering it and having, like, Too Tall be a racer and, like, I don't know, Barry Bruin. Because, I don't know, there's only one bad guy in the cartoons. But, I don't think Barry Bruin ever made it to animation. But that's, I think that's, you know what we never talked about?
What?
Who you are. I never actually introduced you in this episode.
Oh, that's true. I never said. You didn't.
It's Brad Mariska, everybody. Oh, yeah. One of the collectors.
Well, yeah. I'm a collector.
We got to get another collector episode. I mean, we got to just get some more collectibles out there. They do exist.
They do.
We should all get down to Austin and like record from there.
Yeah. We should do another episode down there.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah. Anyway, this isn't interesting to our listeners.
No.
They
but you know
less.
What? It's your podcast. You can
I can talk about whatever I want. And what do I want to talk about? Let's talk about what's coming up. More books. Can we talk about some more Berenstain Bear books?
Mm-hmm.
We'll hit some more collectibles. Brad, what have you been working on recently?
Oh, I'm so busy with my day job, high school band director, that I'm in the middle of our fall concert series right now, and I'm going to be directing a play here in the winter.
Oh, what are you directing?
A one-act play. It's a Chekhov short play called
Chekhov?
The Wedding Reception. It's one of his more obscure plays.
Yeah.
And I haven't been involved in theater in quite a while. It's been several years since I have been in or directed a show. So I'm really excited about that. And it's something that's just different enough from teaching music all day that it's exciting. It's
that
something to look forward
exciting.
To.
So you're directing it for the school?
Yes, correct.
That's
the one act play festival.
Is it one of Chekhov's comedies?
Yeah, it's a farce. Yeah.
His short plays, like you forget that this guy wrote some funny stuff.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really great. So I'm really excited about that. And actually one of the co-directors is a former student of mine.
Oh, cool.
So I taught him everything I knew many years ago, and he went on to pursue theater and has a degree in theater and has done a lot of acting and miming and juggling and is a real entertainer, and he's going to be lending his talents to the production team as well. So it's a really great opportunity to collaborate with a former student in a really unique way.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Now I miss theater again, all over again.
It's so easy to just
that's why I have
charmed by it.
Three podcasts to keep me busy. Speaking of three podcasts, you can also hear me on It's Del Toro Time, a Guillermo del Toro podcast I do with my teenager Ollie, and on Click It Cast, a Beverly Cleary podcast that I do with my friend John McCoy. And you can find more information about this show at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. You can find us on Twitter at bstainbearcast, and go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry, and if you want to, you can throw a couple of bucks our way. There's a couple of tiers of involvement you can get on to support Deep in Bear Country, just to help pay for books or whatnot, just so I can sort of stay in business. And that's it. And if you're looking to get a copy of Berenstain Bears Blaze a Trail, it is still in print.
Mm-hmm.
It is,
and it had actually gone out of print for a while. It's really great that Random House sees some value in them, and you can get it, like you said, both the Kindle edition or paper edition.
Yeah, with stickers.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. It's that they, because as Mike said, not all of them are available anymore. So
right.
Blaze a Trail. I mean, as I think is very obvious, we are both fans of this book. I think it is perfectly suited for a kid's bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
Fun to read. It's funny. It's beautifully illustrated. Show kids some quality illustrations if that is your want. All right. So that's it for everything. Brad, thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Parents St. Bears,
yeah.
Blaze a Trail. And for everyone else out there, we will see you next time
deep in bear country.
It's easier to do that not on Skype.
True. I know. It's like always like
trying to sync it
never
up.
Never lining up.
The end.